God, amen. You may be seated. Praise the Lord. It looks like people are, I know our YouTube live stream is going out, and I hope people are joining us. I did notice that for some reason YouTube decided to rearrange our page. And when you go to the page, our most recent message would come up. Now it's a different order. And so you have to go, just as a word of announcement, and I hope people are finding us this morning, you have to click on the tab that says live. All right, just make a note of that. If you ever want to watch any of the services, go to live, and then you'll see a listing of the services starting with the most recent. Okay, make note of that. Praise God. Michael, I wanted to mention this before we get in the Word. Michael gave me a pastor appreciation card. He was a little bit late getting it done, but he got it done. It's all right. It's all right. He got it done, and he did great work. And I looked at it, and he's got a, I don't know if you can see it here, but he drew a fabulous picture. And I looked at this guy who appears to me to be quite a bit older than who I am. And I questioned Michael about it. And I said, Michael, this guy, it's great work, but this guy looks kind of old. He said, well, I just looked at your face and drew what I saw. Great answer, brother. But it says, I love you. May God's richest blessings come upon you and your family in Jesus' name. So I really appreciate this, Michael. I do. And I've got other pictures on the inside here. And is this me too? Woo, I kind of like that. That guy looks stout and strong. So, all right, praise God. Thank you, Michael. Amen. Let's go to the Word this morning. In fact, let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for your Word today. I thank you for every person here, and I thank you, Lord, as I've asked you earlier and prayed to you earlier, I thank you that your Word will not return void today, but I thank you that it will produce fruit today. I thank you, Father, in Jesus' name, that everyone here has ears to hear and eyes to see spiritually in the name of Jesus. And I thank you, Lord, that we'll not just be hearers of the Word, but, Lord, that we'll be doers of the Word and put it into practice in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. So, Second Corinthians, I have three passages of Scripture that I want to start this with today. 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 13, it says, and since we have the same spirit of faith according to what is written, I believed and therefore I spoke, we also believe and therefore speak. And then Mark 11, 22 and 23. So Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God. For assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. And then Romans 10, 8 through 10. But what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So in these passages of Scripture that we just read, we see the operation of faith revealed. Or we could say it this way, how faith works. You know, it's one thing to have an item, maybe an appliance, maybe an electronic device, maybe a piece of power, or a power equipment, a piece of machinery. But it's another thing to understand how the thing works and then put it to work or operate it, right? Yeah. Anybody ever been frustrated because you got this new thing but you didn't know how to crank it? Right? Well, you got to put the choke up, you got to press the primer bulb three times, you got to pull the cord four times, all this stuff, and you got to know how to operate things, right? Well, we need to know how to operate faith. So the title of this message is Believing and Speaking, the operation of faith. Amen. So it's one thing to have faith, but it's quite another to put that faith into operation in order to change circumstances, in order to move mountains, and in order to receive salvation. Praise God. So Paul says in 2 Corinthians 4:13, he says that this spirit of faith believes and speaks. We have the same spirit of faith, he said, and we believe and therefore we speak. Everybody say believing and speaking. Jesus says in Mark 11:23, that if we'll believe in our hearts and say with our mouths, then we'll have whatever we say. And then again, Paul in Romans 10 says that the word of faith that he preached was as near as your own heart and your own mouth, he said. And that you can be saved by confessing with your mouth and believing with your heart. This is the operation of faith. Believing in your heart, saying with your mouth. This is how faith operates. And I know you're thinking, well, Pastor, we've heard that before. We're very familiar with this. And I'm sure that's true. I'm sure that you are. You know, concerning this one verse, Mark 11:23, I remember Dad Hagin saying one time that the Lord spoke to him. And he said, did you notice, he said in Mark 11:23, that the word say relative to the believer is in that verse three times. And the word believe is in that verse only one time. Jesus said, I say unto you that whoever shall say to the mountain, be removed and cast into the sea, and not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. So there's the saying. Say is mentioned three times, and believe is mentioned one time. And then he shared with him this. He said, my people are not missing it primarily in their believing. They're missing it primarily in the saying part of this. He said, so therefore you're going to have to teach three times as much on the saying part as you do the believing part so that people can get it. Yes. Amen? Yes. Praise God. So that's why we're doing this. And we need to be constantly reminded of these things. In fact, Peter talks about that, about the need to be reminded. In 2 Peter 1 and verse 12, he says, for this reason, I will not be negligent to remind you always of these things, though you know and are established in the present truth. So you can know a Bible truth, and you can even be established in that truth. But Peter said, even if you know it and you're established in it, he said, I'm not going to be negligent to remind you of these things always. Amen. Even though you know something, and even though you may even be established in it, you still need to be reminded of it. Amen. So that's what we're going to do today. In verse 13, Peter says, yes, I think it is right as long as I'm in this tent, talking about still in the body, talking about still here on earth, as long as I'm in this tent to stir you up by reminding you. So again, you may know these things. You may have heard them before. You know, you may know them. You may even be established in them. But my job today, my purpose today is to stir you up. Amen? Amen. You're kind of like paint. Unless you're stirred up, you're not gonna go on right. Amen. Yeah. If we try to put you on the wall and we hadn't stirred you up, then you're just gonna make a mess. Right? Amen. So we have to be stirred up spiritually. We have to be stirred up in our faith. We have to be stirred up in the truth that we know so that we can not just be hearers of the word, but doers and act on it. Amen. Because it's only when we act on these things, it's only when we put these principles into operation that they'll work for us. Amen. Amen. Faith won't work for you because, I go to City on a Hill Church. It's a faith church. Our pastor went to Rhema. Well, that won't do you any good unless you act on the Word of God. Amen. 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 Unless you put it into practice, what we're teaching. Amen. And it won't do me any good just to preach it if I don't act on it. Amen. We're all in the same boat here. Yep. Amen. But that's the good news. That's not the bad. That means it's in your hands. Yep. You're not depending on somebody. You can do something about it. You can change your situation. Amen. Amen. And then there's this. Romans 12 and verse 2 says this. He says, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Don't be conformed to this world. Have you noticed that the world speaks negatively? Have you noticed that the world is full of doubt and full of fear and full of skepticism and full of negativity? Well, he says, don't be conformed to this world. Don't walk that way. Don't act that way. Amen? What are we supposed to do? Well, we're supposed to operate in the spirit of faith. We're supposed to believe and speak and walk in the blessings of God and walk in victory and walk in the fullness of the redemption that Jesus purchased for us and not live in the negativity and the defeat in the world. Amen? Praise God. I think I'm preaching better than your amen in so far. Remember what Royal said. Somebody said it's like this. Saying amen and like that, it's like to a preacher, it's like saying sick 'em to a dog. So, amen. All right. So I'd prefer the amen instead of sick 'em, but I'll take either one, I guess. Any response would be good. And it's not just the, you know, saying something. It's you hooking up with your heart and believing that you're going to receive. Amen. That's what's important. Amen. And staying connected that way. All right. Let's go back to Mark 11:23 and dig into this a little bit. Mark 11:23, for assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea. So notice Jesus said, whoever says. So Jesus says this operation of faith will work for whoever. Yeah, amen. Amen. He said, whoever will say to the mountain. He just had got through speaking to the fig tree and it withered and his disciples were astonished. And then Jesus said, guys, don't get the wrong idea. This will work for whoever. It's not just because I'm the Son of God. This is a principle that will work for whoever. Amen. Amen. Whoever says to the mountain, amen, be removed and be cast into the sea. And so he says, next thing he says, whoever says. So it'll work by what? By saying. This principle works by saying. Whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that the things he says will be done, he'll have whatever he says. So he says, say to the mountain. Amen. So Jesus is telling us here that we are to speak to the obstacles and the problems that we are facing that come up in our lives. He didn't say pray and ask God to move the mountain. He said speak to it. Amen. Amen. Sure, there are things that we're to pray and ask God for, certainly. But in this case and in this instance, a lot of times we're praying and asking God to do something and he's already told us what to do and he's given us the means to do it. He says, believe in your heart, say with your mouth, speak to the mountain, tell it, be removed and be cast into the sea. Yes. Amen. Amen. All right. And then he says, and does not doubt in his heart. And does not doubt in his heart. So he says to the mountain, we say to the mountain, and we do not doubt in our heart. One meaning of that word doubt is differ. And this is really some insight here if you'll pay attention and get this. One meaning of this word doubt is differ. So let's put that in there. Be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not differ in his heart. What does that mean? He's saying it's necessary to be saying and believing the same thing for it to operate. You can't just say it, but if you don't believe it, it won't work then. Amen. Yes. Amen. Now there's an element, listen, get this too. There's an element of saying than speaking the word of God. Somebody said it this way, if you'll feed your heart faith when it doesn't need it, if your mouth will feed your heart faith when it doesn't need it, then your mouth will feed your heart, or your heart will feed your mouth faith when it does need it. And get that straightened out, okay? In other words, you can say the word of God and speak the word of God over your life to build faith. Faith comes how? By hearing. And the best way to hear it is your own voice saying it. So you can say the word of God to build faith into your heart, but then this is, okay, now I'm ready to move a mountain with this. Now I'm ready to speak to this mountain. And so what I'm saying out of my mouth is consistent with what I truly believe in my heart. Amen. And not doubt or differ in his heart. In other words, you're not saying one thing but really believing another. All right. And conversely, it won't work if you believe in your heart, but your confession is not consistent with what you believe in your heart. Amen?
Amen.
All right. That's why, again, it's essential to feed on the Word of God. That's where faith comes from, and especially on scriptures that promise you the thing that you're believing for. If it's healing, if it's restoration, if it's finance, whatever it is, find scriptures that cover that and feed on those and speak those over your life, read those, get those into your heart and build faith so then you can speak to those obstacles, those problems. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Remember, Jesus spoke to he had just spoken to the fig tree and it had withered away. So we're going to talk about a little bit more about that in a second, but I want to point this out. Again, look at what Jesus says here. He says, let's get the rest of verse 23 up there. Notice this, but believes, what are we supposed to believe? Well, we're supposed to believe in God. We're supposed to believe the Bible. Well, yes, we're supposed to believe in God, and yes, we're supposed to believe the Bible, but specifically, here's what we're supposed to believe, and I think folks miss it right here. We're supposed to believe that the things we say will be done. Believe that the things you say will be done. The King James, I believe, says, believe that the things you say shall come to pass. That's what you have to believe. So I speak to the mountain, and I believe that that mountain, when I say to the mountain, be removed and cast in the sea, then I believe that what I say will be done. Believe in your words. Now, if you're a person that doesn't keep your word, you're going to have trouble with that. Ouch. Amen. If you tell people stuff that you never intend on fulfilling or keeping, then when you try to speak and release your faith and you believe, and you're supposed to believe the things you say will be done, you're going to have struggle doing that. So work on being a person who keeps your word. And it will help your faith. I won't charge you a penny for that. That's just all extra right there. That's all for free. Amen? So we believe the things that we say will be done. Now, let's go to Luke. Luke 17 and verse 5. And the apostles said to the Lord, increase our faith. They'd seen how Jesus operated. And they said, we want some of that. Increase our faith. Just download some faith into us. My kids and I were they wanted to watch the. Anybody ever seen the movie? I know Curtis has seen it, probably. I just knowing what I do about Curtis, I'm guessing The Matrix. How many times, Curtis? What? Okay. Has anybody ever seen the movie The Matrix? Okay. All right. See, and then we watched it, though I hadn't seen it in life. I never could figure it out the two or three times I saw it before. I think I finally figured it out this time. Okay, so it's one of those movies. But anyway, the people in there, they would just, if they needed something, then they'd just download it into them. A lady needed to fly this military helicopter, and she radioed into the guy, and she said, download the program for this blah, 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 blah helicopter. And now she can fly it. So, it doesn't work that way with faith. They said, just download some faith into us, Jesus. That's why I talked about the Matrix. Where is he going with this? You can't just download stuff into you like that. Amen?
Amen.
Jesus responds. So the Lord said, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you can say to the mulberry tree, be pulled up by the roots and be planted in the sea, and it would obey you. So faith can be increased, but faith is increased not by Jesus downloading it into you. Our faith is increased like a muscle. See, we've all got, every one of us has a right bicep and a left bicep. Some folks' bicep is bigger than others folks' bicep. You know why? because of exercise. Because some folks have used that. Amen. Or whatever muscle we're talking about in our body. Faith is increased by using it, by exercising it. Amen. Have you been exercising your faith? Have you been using your faith? Amen. All right. And again, you don't go to the gym and you say, well, I want some faith real fast. You know, put 200 pounds on there when you can't lift 15. You start out with 15 and you build up. Amen. And in faith, you start out with small stuff and you build up. George Mueller, who had the orphanages in over in England over 100 years ago, he started, God led him to begin to take in the orphans in London and in areas there in England. And he began to believe God. And he got to the point where he was feeding and taking care of hundreds and hundreds of orphans. And he did it all on faith. And he said this. He said, you know, when I started out on this, he said, it took all the faith that I had to believe for 1 pound. You know, that's the monetary, instead of a dollar, it's pound in England, okay? And he said, after all these years of exercising my faith and believing God for provision, for taking care of these children in this orphanage, now I can believe God as easily for £1 million as I could for 1 pound 25 years ago. What had he done? He had exercised his faith. Amen? Amen? Yes. So faith has to be exercised. But look at what Jesus says here. Put that verse back up there if you would, Kim. Jesus says, if you have faith, then you can say. If you have faith, you can say. So faith has to be released through our words. If you have faith, you'll say. Amen? Faith has got... Are y'all out there? Paul's here. Is this registering? Amen. I'm seeing it's like the lights are on, but nobody's home. Amen. Is it registering? All right, say, we're getting it, Pastor. All right, amen. If you have faith, you'll say. So our faith has to be released through our words. Let's look at one more here, and then we're running out of time. So we'll see how far I've got more pages of notes. We'll see how far we get here. Job 22. Let's go back to the book of Job. We see this principle of believing and saying. Remember, the operation of faith is believing in our heart and saying with our mouth. Amen. Job 22. Verse 28, look at this. He says, you will also declare a thing, and it will be established for you. Amen. That sounds a lot like what Jesus said in Mark 11, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe those things he says will be done. He'll have whatever he says. He says, you'll declare a thing, and it'll be established for you. Amen. See, when we declare things in faith, God promises they'll be established for us. What would you like to see established in your life? God is waiting on us to declare some things. Amen. Amen. You'll also declare a thing, and it will be established for you, so light will shine on your ways. Now, I want to point this out. Every confession, every declaration that we make must be based on what God has said. You can't just go out there declaring stuff that's not in line with the Word of God. Amen. Yes. Amen. James talks about that. And he says, come now, those of you who say, tomorrow we're going to move to this city, conduct business, make a profit, do this. He says, wait a minute. You need to say if the Lord wills. You know what? You need to submit that confession to the will of God. Amen. And that does not mean, I believe I'm healed, if it's the Lord's will. No, he's already made his will clear on that. Amen. Whatever he's made his will clear about in his word, then we can make a confession based on that. Let me show you how this works from the book of Hebrews. In Hebrews 13 and verse 5, it says, for he himself, that would be God, the Lord, for he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. God has said that to us in his word. Amen. Now look at the next verse. So we may boldly say. In other words, because God has said something, now I can say something. Because God has said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you, Now I can say this, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? Now notice, it's not a word for word confession of what God has said. Now it's right to do that. It's right to speak the word of God. It's right to memorize and to speak and confess the word of God straight up. Jesus did that when he encountered the devil. When Satan tempted him, Jesus responded to every temptation with, "It is written," and he quoted verbatim scriptures out of the Old Testament in order to put the devil to flight. So it's right to do that, but it's also right to, based on what God has said, to make a declaration consistent with that. Do you see the difference here? Do you see what he's doing? Because the Lord said, "I'll never leave you nor forsake you." Now I can say, "The Lord is my helper. I'll not fear." Amen? But again, the point is this. The point is, our confession has to be founded on what God has said. The operation, the release of our words and our faith has to be consistent with what God has said. In fact, you can't believe. Faith can't come without the Word of God, so you can't even really have any faith. And the reason I'm saying this is, and I don't know if we encounter so much of it now, but I know back when this teaching began to explode, really in the late 70s and early 80s, and people went out and just began saying all kinds of things. And, "Oh, you can have what you say." You know, "So I'm going to say this, I'm going to say this, I'm going to say this." And then those things didn't come to pass because those confessions were not based on the Word of God. And then they went off and said, "Well, this doesn't work. Yeah. Well, it's not for everybody." Oh, no, it works. You just didn't push the choke up. Yeah. You just didn't press the primer. You just didn't operate it right. Amen? All right. Praise God. That's what you do with a leaf blower. It's leaf blowing season. You got to choke it. You got to prime it. Okay. And then cry. I guess that's why I've got that on my mind. All right. Praise God. So, but because God has said something, I can boldly say, amen? Since God has made a declaration over my life, I'll never leave you nor forsake. Well, has God said something about your healing? He certainly has, hasn't he? So since he said something about my healing, since he said I am the Lord who heals you in the book of Exodus, since he said in Psalm 103 that he forgives all my iniquities and heals all my diseases, since he said in Isaiah 53 and verse 5 and 1 Peter 2:24 that by his stripes we were healed, then therefore I can boldly say I am healed. Amen. Not gonna be, not hope to be, not, "Oh Lord, please," but I am healed. Amen. Yes. Because the Lord has said something, I can say something. Right. Amen? Amen? All right. And then let's go back to Job for a second. There's an area of intercession where we can operate on this on behalf of others. You can't always. Jesus in Mark 11:23, he's talking about faith. He says that you believe and you say, and you'll have what you say. You can't always get your faith to work for another person like this. There are instances where it can. Here's one where it says, when people are brought low, and you what? You say, lift them up. Then what's going to happen? He, the Lord, he will save the downcast. Amen. When people are brought, so this is intercession. When people are, so you can use your words to lift others. Amen. When people are brought low and you say, lift them up, then he'll save the downcast. Verse 30, he will even deliver one who's not innocent, who'll be delivered through the cleanness of your hands. Amen. So we can use this in intercession. Also in the book of Proverbs, it talks about that. It says, by the blessing of the upright, the city, I believe it's Proverbs 11, by the blessing of the upright, the city is exalted. What does that mean? That means the upright, that means the righteous are using their words, using their faith, and using their words to bless the city and cause the city to be exalted. But it says, but it's overthrown by the mouth of the wicked. I tell you, our city's just going to pot. I tell you, everything's so corrupt here. I tell you, you know, it's just getting worse and worse. That's the mouth of the wicked overthrowing the city. But by the blessing of the upright, we believe that righteousness is prevailing in our city and in our state and in our nation. We believe that righteousness is prevailing. We believe that God is healing our land. Amen. Use your words to bless the city, to bless the nation. Amen. Hallelujah. All right. JJ, come on back up here if you would. In Joel 3:10, you know this, the scripture says, let the weak say what? Let the weak say, I am strong. Well, Pastor, are we just supposed to lie? No, you're not lying. To say you're weak would be lying. But you don't understand, I do feel weak. Well, the Bible says, be strong in the Lord in the power of His might. The Bible says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. The Bible says, greater is He who is in me than he that's in the world. But Pastor, I'm just going to be honest with you. I feel so weak. Oh. You feel. We're basing it on how we feel, are we? How many have learned that you can't live your life based on how you feel? Now, tomorrow's Monday. I know some of you retired or have different work schedules, but some of us will get up and go to work in the morning. How many of you you've done that, of course, in the past? How many of you only went to work on Monday morning when you got up and felt like it? You didn't have that job very long if you did that, right? You get up and go whether you feel like it or not, right? Why? Because you want to keep your job. Because you want to feed your family, right? Amen. All right. Amen. So we can't base it on how we feel. Jesus didn't say feel and speak. He said believe and speak. Amen. See, the problem comes in when we put our feelings above the Word of God. Abraham didn't feel anything. And I don't know, maybe we'll talk about this another time. I'm out of time now, but Abraham didn't feel anything when God came to him and he said, no longer shall your name be Abram, but I'm changing your name. Your name will be Abraham from now on. I've made you a father of many nations. Abraham was 99 and Sarah was 90. And he said, y'all are going to have a baby. They'd not been able to have any children at all. He didn't feel a thing. In fact, the Bible says he considered not his own body. He considered not his own body. He didn't feel anything. He didn't consider his feelings. We can't consider our feelings. That means to think about them above what God has said. He considered what God said above his feelings. The Bible says again that he staggered not. King James says he did not waver. New King James says he did not waver. The King James says he staggered not at the promise of God. Guess what that word waver in the New King James and stagger in the King James is? The same Greek word as differ. Differ. Doubt. Same word. He didn't differ with what God had said. In other words, he came into agreement with what God said. You know what he did? He started calling himself Abraham, didn't he? God says, no longer shall you be Abram, but you shall be Abraham. And he began calling himself Abraham. And he would go up and his friends were gathered, at the barber shop. He went into the barber shop and his friends were gathered in there. And they said, Abram, what's up? He said, no, it's not Abram anymore. It's Abraham. I'm the father of many nations. Oh, we didn't know about that. What happened? Well, nothing in the natural has happened yet, but God said. So I believe God. You may have encountered that in your life. Not with a name, but with, oh, here's so-and-so. They've got this condition. They've had this condition for years. They're sick. And you come up and you say, no, that's not me anymore. I'm healed. Oh, what happened? Has anything changed in the night? No, nothing has changed, but I'm agreeing with God. I'm agreeing with what God said. And they may ridicule you. They may have ridiculed Abraham for that. Oh, yeah, thinks he's Abraham now, huh? Roll their eyes, maybe talk about him behind his back. But the Bible says Abraham believed and he became. Let's skip to that verse. That's be a good place to wrap it up. Verse 18. Put 18 up there, Ken. Who, contrary to hope, there was no natural hope, in hope believed. We believed what God said, aligned himself with that, and began to call himself Abraham, so that he became the father of many nations according to what was spoken. He became what God said about him. Because he chose to believe and say. The Bible says there, let's go back to 17 for a second. The Bible says that God gives life to the dead and God calls the things that do not exist as though they did. And that's what we're doing in the operation of faith. When we believe and when we say, we are calling things that do not exist in the natural as though they did. Amen. Amen. And Abraham began calling himself father of a multitude when he had no children and no natural evidence that he would ever have any. But he called himself that. And the Bible says in verse 18, go back to 18 there, he became according to what was spoken. And I've got good news for you this morning. If you'll walk in the steps of the faith of Abraham, believing and saying and calling those things that do not exist as though they do in your life and over your life, then you can become according to what's been spoken about you in the Word of God, that you are healed, that you are delivered, that you have the wisdom of God, that you are blessed and you are a blessing. You can become according to what is spoken. Amen. Does anybody like to become according to all that's been spoken? Yes. In the Word of God over your life? Well, here's how we do it. By operating in this principle, the operation of faith, by believing and saying. Yes. Amen. Amen. Let's bow our heads. Praise God. Thank you, Lord.